Jeremy Stanton.
Good morning, Rabosai. Speak Bezras Hashem about the Haftorah this week. And just met somebody outside whom I know from London, and I said I have to go, I'm speaking here now. So he said, what are you speaking about? So I said, I'm speaking about the Haftorah. He said, oh, what are you speaking about? I said, which one is it? I said, it's Korach. So that's the one we're talking about this week, Bezras Hashem. It's one of the easier ones, in the sense that it comes from Shmuel Hanavi, and Shmuel is more narrative. And speaking about narrative is easier to speak about. Yes, one could speak of most of the Haftorahs come from Yeshaya, so many from Yeshaya Hanavi, which is far more deep in the words, the poetry, but here we're talking about the events. A time in Jewish history is approximately 400 years after Klal Yisrael invaded Eretz Yisrael, conquered Eretz Yisrael. If I told you that they took over the land, well, they did take over the land. Under Yehoshua, they took it over. But from Sefer Shoftim, the first parak of Sefer Shoftim, it is clear that there were large areas in Eretz Yisrael that were not yet conquered. Bit by bit, they managed to conquer those territories, but it was not finished until David HaMelech. Only in the time of David HaMelech was the entire Eretz Yisrael under the control of the Jewish nation, and therefore to be governed by the Torah. Apart from that, if you look through the whole of Sefer Shoftim, you'll see that there were periods of time when the Goyim ruled over us. That was bad enough. There were periods of time when large numbers of Jewish people were owed Avodah Zorah in Eretz Yisrael. And if Avodah Zorah isn't bad enough, Avodah Zorah in Eretz Yisrael is absolutely terrible. Eretz Yisrael is the only place in the world where you've got a mitzvah d'oraisa to get rid of Avodah Zorah. We do not have a mitzvah d'oraisa to go around destroying the churches and mosques in England. Churches are mosques. You've got a nice machlok we've shown him on it. I'm really not going to get involved in the subject, but we would generally agree that it is not our duty to go around the world burning down the Avodah Zorah wherever you find it. It is not our chiyuv. But we do have a chiyuv d'oraisa of removing Avodah Zorah from Arzeinu HaKadosha. Eretz Yisrael is the one place there must not be any Avodah Zorah. The Ibadtem. You've got to destroy it. And unfortunately, from Sefer Shoftim, you see there were large periods of time when Avodah Zorah was done not only by the Goyim who were still there, but by the Jewish people who had unfortunately learnt from them. So we came to a time about 400 years later. Eli HaKohen was the Kohen Gadol and the leader of Klal Yisrael. We learn about Eli HaKohen, we know about Chanah, the Haftorah on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, about the Tefillah of Chanah, and how she davened to have a child, and how Shmuel was born. And Shmuel was brought up by Eli, and when Eli was Niftah 39 years later, Shmuel became the leader of Klal Yisrael. He was the leader of Klal Yisrael for approximately 10 to 11 years. And, pardon? Yes, that was it. He was the leader for approximately 10 or 11 years. And then Shaul HaMelech was crowned as the king. He lived for 2 years. And Shmuel HaNovi was Niftah just before Shaul. And we're told that Shmuel HaNovi davened that he should die before Shaul HaMelech. So Shmuel looked prematurely old. Kodesh Baruch Hu made him look old so that it wouldn't look so bad that he died at the young age of 52. That's when Shmuel Hanavi. Okay. You say 51. The safer I've got says 52. Ken's line, 51 and a half. We're both correct. Please, let's not have an argument about it. There are different opinions. Yes, yes. But I'm not speaking about that now. Yes. Yes. Do we have to argue? Right. Safer I've got says 52 as well. So, what happens at this stage when Shmuel got to be old with his Perek Ches? By the time we get up to the Haftorah, we're around Perek Yud Beis, and we have to know what happens to get to Perek Yud Beis. So Shmuel HaNovi became old. He made his sons shoft him, but his sons did not act the way they should have done. They didn't go bidrochov, as the Pasuk says. Vayitu acharei habotza. They were inclined after financial gain. Vayikchu shochad. They took bribes. Vayatu mishpot. And they perverted justice. And Chazal say, we're not talking about two incredible Rishoim. We're talking about people who did not put as much effort into preserving justice around Eretz Yisrael as their father had done. And since every single person is judged in relationship to themselves, we are not judged in relation to other people. It's a nice way to look at it. We like to think of life as being a game of chess. If I play you a game of chess and I beat you, that means I am the better player. It doesn't mean I'm a good player. All it makes me is one step above the person I've beaten. We like to look at it that way, the other way round. We like to say, the very fact that I played a game yesterday and I won means I'm a brilliant player. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us in relation to ourselves, not in relation to other people. It's not a question of, do I know one posuk, one halacha, one mishnah, one piece of gemara better than the other person, and that makes me a Talmid Chochom. It doesn't. I'm judged in relation to what I'm expected to know. Which is why they were, since they had a phenomenal father, and they did not act as he did. One of the points mentioned about the sons of Shmuel was that Shmuel travelled around Eretz Yisrael at his own expense. He didn't take a penny. As we says in the Pasuk in the Haftorah, Lo chamor echod mehem nososi, I didn't take one donkey. I didn't take a thing. Show me lokachti, he said. Moshe said, look, I didn't take one donkey. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't take a thing, even to take his family back to Eretz Yisrael, to Mitzrayim, from Midian. He didn't take a single thing at communal expense. And when Shmuel was such a big tzaddik, what happened was that his children were expected to copy their father. He brought them up. And unfortunately, they did not. They took money. Didn't say they stole the money. They took money. Maybe they were simply took their expenses. What is wrong in halacha with taking one's expenses? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. There's nothing wrong with taking expenses. But when they were expected to copy their father, they didn't. And what that does, unfortunately, makes a chilul Hashem. They are saying, what they are saying, the Chilul Hashem that the sons of Shmuel made was people expected them to be like their father, and they weren't like their father. So automatically, it lowers the general opinion of, this is what the Torah does for you. So that's what happened. And as a result, the people went along to Shmuel and said, we'd like to have a king. All right, the words, the famous words they used in Perek Ches was, they said to him, you're old, your children, lo holchu bidrochecho. Your children are not following in your ways. Didn't say your children are stealing, your children are taking money they're not entitled to. No specific complaint on that, just lo holchu bidrochecho. Your sons aren't as good as you are. and that upsets us. You're such a big tzaddik, and your children aren't the same. Ato now, simolonu melech leshofteinu, give us a king to judge us, kechol hagoyim, like all the nations. The two words that caused so much trouble to Klal Yisrael and have continued to cause so much trouble to Klal Yisrael in thousands of years. Any concept that Klal Yisrael are to act kechol hagoyim. The most you can ever say is that when the goyim show one good point in the way they do something and we don't, see the good point for itself and try and emulate it. That's the most we can say. But all the things that the goyim are trying to do, with all the problems we're having nowadays with education, are going to chas v'shalom lo aleinu, should never happen to us. The idea of bringing up our children in the British way. Chol hagoyim. They understand what Torah's about. And that's what we said. We, Klal Yisrael, said to Shmuel HaNobi, give us a king to judge us, kechol hagoyim, like all the other nations. And since when was there ever a nation in the world who put in as much effort into Torah and mitzvahs and leadership and honesty as Klal Yisrael has done? Even our bad ones were better than all the best of the good ones they had. Yes, yes. No, the point shouldn't be said. Shouldn't be said. Shouldn't be said. So, what happened was that he told the people, he read them a list of instructions of what your king's going to do. If you get a king, he's going to be absolutely awful. He will have all these powers, all the things he can do to you to take away from you, take your children, put them in the army, and take your daughters and put them into the palace, and all the things he can do. With the idea that they'll say, okay, we're sorry, we asked for the wrong thing. But it didn't make a difference at the end. They wouldn't listen to Shmuel, and they said, Ki melech ye ye oleinu, and then v'hoyinu gamanachnu, we will always also be kechol hagoyim, like all the nations, Ushfotonu Malkeinu, our king will judge us, V'yotzolafoneinu, he'll go out in front of us, V'nilchamas milchamoseinu, and he will fight our wars. That's what we need, a king to lead us, because if we got a king to lead us, then we're going to win the war. Klal Yisrael, the only one way to win a war, you keep Torah mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make sure there's no war in the first place. Terrible when there were wars, any war, anyway. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shmuel to give them a king. Do what they say. Right, so Shmuel told the people to go home and left it at that. He had taken on responsibility to find them a king. The Torah tells us, before Binyamin was born, it says in the Sidra Vayishlach, Umlochim mechalotzecho yetzeu. Kings will come out from you. Mechalotzecho yetzeu means, the phrase mechalotzecho yetzeu means somebody is going to be born to you still. So something mechalotzecho, that's the loshon. Mechalotzecho, it's the Torah's polite way of saying, a clean way of saying that you will, or the old English, beget. You will cause a woman to conceive, that she will have a child, and that child is not, has not even yet been conceived. If you will cause a child to be born, that means if I gave you that bracha today, the child couldn't be born yet till after 9 months. You might say, B'liayin hora, I have 12 children already. But to tell you that you will cause a child to be conceived and be born means one has still to come. So if somebody's going to be great descended from you, and the Torah uses the phrase mechalotzecho yetzeu, it means that it's not going to be descended through the children you have already. Because the children you have already You have done your part for their conception already. That's finished. They're already born. Even if your wife was pregnant, you've already done your bit. So that's not mechalotzech or yedzeu. They're not still to come from you. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yaakov Avinu, mechalotzech or yedzeu, before Binyamin was conceived. So therefore, it says melochim. And melochim is at least one, if not two. And we're going to even say two, although not discuss the second one. There's still going to be a child born from you, Yaakov, not Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc. But somebody still to be born, and the only one left was Binyamin. He had not yet been conceived. And that one will give, will cause, have children, children's, 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 children. And eventually, two of them will become kings. So therefore, there existed in Klal Yisrael the concept there will be kings from Shevet Binyamin. But we know that Yehuda, Toyoducha Achecho, you know the Shevet of Melachim was the Shevet of Yehuda. So there was going to be the main king would, the main dynasty would come from Yehuda, but they already knew that Binyamin would also be the ancestor of kings. So, we now go into Binyamin. Shaul ben Kish, the first king of Klal Yisrael. The first king of Klal Yisrael was a man who came, big tzaddik, who came from Shevet Binyamin. What was he going to be? Different Meforshim speak about it. There's a Machlokas, the Machlokas, two opinions, the Ramban, and there's the Ralbag. The Ramban says that if Shaul had done nothing wrong, there would have been a Jewish kingdom lasting forever over the Shevotim of Binyamin, Ephraim and Manasseh. And Shaul's family would stay kings forever over those three Shevotim. David and his family would be the kings over the other Shevotim. But those three Shevotim would be under the family of Shaul, and that would continue to be like a sub-Malchus within Klal Yisrael. That's how the Ramban learns it. The Ralbag says, no, Shaul would be the king over all Yisrael, and maybe his children, but it would not be forever. It would stop at some stage, and David and his family would take over. And once David was put into position, then David's family would continue, and it would never revert back to Binyamin ever again. That's how the Ralbag learns. Either way, we know that's talking about Shaul not doing anything wrong. Unfortunately, Shaul did do something wrong, so he lost it. And as we know, the Malchus went to David, and the Malchus will stay with David. Moshiach ben David of Ezra Shem Mehri Omein Omein. So, what happens was that Shaul picked this man, Shaul came looking for lost asses, and he met Shmuel HaNovi, and Shmuel HaNovi was told to crown him as being the king. He took oil, poured it on his head, and he said, you're going to be the king. And he told him a list of things that were going to happen to him, and you'll see, when these things happen, it's Hashem's sign, you're going to rule over Klal Yisrael. Now, very nice. He was going to be the king. Shaul made a big assembly, lots of people there, and he showed them how HaKadosh Baruch Hu had chosen Shaul to be the king. He did a goral, and Shaul came out by the goral to be the king. And the people said, Yechi HaMelech. It's interesting that the classic translation of the Hebrew words Yechi HaMelech is long live the king. Right? Go around the world. The coronation of the Queen of England. Mitzvah Hashem, she should continue to last. Baruch Hashem, wonderful lady. The Queen of England, long live the Queen. They talk about living long. The word Yechi in Hebrew has got nothing to do with length of time. Yechi means the king should live. As we know, Reshoim b'chayehem nikroim mesim. Reshoim in their physical lives are called dead. Tzadikim b'misoson Nikroim Chaim. Life is something far more than merely having one's heart pumping inside one's body and sending the blood around. That's far more than life. Life, Lyechi, having a Chaim, means that he should be totally aware of his responsibilities to the Rabbono Shel Olam for literally every second of the day, doing what Hashem wants him to do. Such a person is living. And when his life involves not only what I have to do, but what the whole nation has to do, and therefore, if my life includes everybody else, and I do that properly, then that is Chaim. That is life. I am living correctly. Let us imagine that my responsibility is towards 10 people, and 9 of them I look after, and the 10th I don't. Then I'm not living correctly. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me a responsibility in my life over 10 people, and I'm only taking an interest in 9. So therefore it's not a proper life. So Yechi HaMelech means the king should live. That's literally all it means. Yechi HaMelech, he should live. But he should live means he should take his life seriously, and his life seriously includes the whole of Klal Yisrael. So if he takes one person in Klal Yisrael and ignores that one person when he's meant to take an interest, then he's not living. Whereas if he takes an interest in everybody, that is proper Chaim. That's Yechi HaMelech. Anyway, Shaul went home until the next thing needed to be done. He went home. And after he went home, what happened? People said, he's not a good king. They were B'nai Belial. They said, he's useless. He won't help us anyway. They'd seen there was Nochosh Melech Ammon had come along. And they thought, he's not going to be able to lead us. He won't get an army. He won't be a good king. And because there were people anyway who showed a lack of respect for Shaul HaMelech said, I'm not a king. A king needs the confidence of the people. If they haven't got the confidence in me, that makes me felt I'm not a king properly. So therefore, I've got no problem. He went home and he went back to work. A king is not allowed to do any public act of work in front of 3 people. It's one of the dinim of a melech. Shaul HaMelech, because there were people showing a lack of respect for him, it wasn't a question of saying, right, I'll beat your brains in. It's a question of, therefore I'm not a king, therefore I've got work to do at home. And he went back to doing the ploughing. That's what he was doing. Anyway, what next happened was Nochash Ha'amoni came along to a place called Yovesh Gilod, and he said to the people of Yovesh Gilod, I'm going to kill you, as people do. And so they said, well, tell us what to do. We'll make a bris. We'll make it a covenant with you, a treaty with you. What do you want us to do? You want money? What can we do for you? And please leave us alone. So Nochash Ha'amoni said, my idea of what I want you to do is every single one of you gouges out his right eye. That will be fun, and I can show everybody how big I am. So everybody will see how powerful I am, that I can get this whole village of people to gouge out their right eye because they're terrified of me. That's good for me. They give me happiness. To which they said to him, with respect, your majesty, you know, there's you and your army and we're only small people. All it's going to do is prove to the world that you're a bully. Right? You get a reputation of being a bully. Now, let's imagine, chas v'shalom, that a person, a yid's walking down the street, and you've got a group of goyim, a gang of goyim, come along and say, come here, Jew, we're going to beat you up. And he manages to persuade them. He says, look, you want to show that you're stronger than the Jewish people? Well, just that 6 of you could beat one person up doesn't prove that you're stronger than Jewish people. It proves that 6 are bigger than 1. So do me a favour, let me get 5 of my friends, and that way we'll have a proper fight. If you can beat the 6 of us, then you can show your friends that you're stronger than we are. But you won't get any fame by having 6 people beating 1 person up. So therefore, give us a chance, give us a week to get some people on our side, then we'll have a proper battle, and if you can beat us, and then you can go around gouging out our right eye, then you can show everybody you're stronger than the Jews. He accepted the Lomdus. Baruch Hashem accepted the Lomdus. And they sent a message to Shaul. Shaul, full steam ahead, sent a message round the whole of Klal Yisrael within 1 week, bearing in mind that they didn't have little machines that you just press a button and Australia knows in 2 seconds what happened. Yeah? Didn't have this ability then. He sent a message round Klal Yisrael in a week, and he had an army of 300,000 men who came along to rescue Yovei Shgilot. And what did they do? They arrived under Saul's guidance outside Yovei Shgilot, where Nochash Armoni was camping, and they attacked Ba'ashmores HaBoker. Ashmores HaBoker means the last watch. You know, the first mission of Bracha is talking about Ashmura Rishona. There are three watches in the night. The first third, the middle third, the last third. The last third is the time people are really asleep. So that's the time they went and attacked, just before it got morning. And they attacked Yovei Shgilot, they attacked the Nochash Armoni outside, and they completely, utterly smashed up the Armonim. And that was what Shaul HaMelech did. The first battle he fought on behalf of Klal Yisrael, he completely won it. And after that, and this is where the Haftorah starts from, is where the Pasuk says, Vayomer Shmuel Elo'om, let's go to Gilgal, v'nechadesh shom ha-melucha, and let us mechadesh, let's renew the melucha, let's renew it. When I was made king by Shmuel, people didn't accept it. Now you accept that I should be the king, let us go and make a proper ceremony to accept that I am the king of Klal Yisrael. Gilgal, why Gilgal? The main place, the main capital at the time was Mitzpah. So Gilgal was the place where the Mishkan had rested when they first came into Eretz Yisrael under Yehoshua. Gilgal. It wasn't there anymore. Only there for 14 years. But let's go to Gilgal. That's where the Torah started in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore we'll go back there and renew the Melucha. So they all went there. The Pasuk says in the second Pasuk of the Torah, they made korbonos, and the Yismach Shom Shol Cholanshi. So everybody was very happy. They were very happy that what had happened. There were people, as we said, B'nai Belial, who had mocked Saul as soon as he was made king. And what did they say? That he was no good for them. And now that Saul was accepted by everybody, some of them apologized and others had not apologized. And the other people said they should be killed for their chutzpah to the Melech Yisrael. They should be killed for it. And Shaul said, no, nobody's going to die today. No one's going to die today. So he let them off. And Chazal criticized Shaul. When Shaul, when you become a king, there are times when you have to go beyond the normal. You can be an onov. Everybody has to be an onov. Moshe Rabbeinu was the king of Klal Yisrael. He was the greatest onov ever. Humility is wonderful. But when it comes to a question of ruling over the country, the people who had showed that they had not respect for him and they didn't change their mind after that, there was no place for them in Klal Yisrael. But Shaul let them off. And that was a weakness on Shaul's part. He didn't. According to Chazal, yes. Right? It's Moed B'Malchus. After all, who made Shaul into the king? Shmuel. Who told Shmuel what to do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? It's not a question of, we got different opinions. You think it's good, you think he's no good. We're not arguing about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's good. End of discussion. So, Shmuel now gets all of Klal Yisrael together. Say that?
That's like it's in Somalia.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. No, it can be the ultimate shofet, but when it comes to Das Torah, he's still got to have the Torah that he goes to. No, nobody tells him that he automatically will know the correct answers to every question. So in other words, he's got to go and listen to what other people have to say, but go to the Das Torah to find out what he has to do. And Shaul himself, unfortunately, went too far in making his own decision on things, where had he asked the Rabbonim what to do, he would have been told, this is the correct thing to do, don't do what you want to. So now I'm saying Shmuel told the people off. And that is what the Haftorah of this Shabbos is about. He told them off. They had asked for a king. They had got a king. They had seen that the king they got was a good king, a very good king. Now was the time to tell them off. Right? If a child asks the parent, ask the father or the mother, I would like a particular item. Please, I want this particular item. And the parent says no. And the child has a tantrum. Right? You're going to try and use logic on the child? You can't use logic on a child. It doesn't work. Child's not going to listen. You sit down, please. Let me explain it to you. The child doesn't want logic. Sometimes there's only one way of dealing with somebody, is giving them exactly what they want. Making it nice, making it taste nice, showing the child, I've given you what you want. Now I want you to see by practical experience how what I have given you is not going to be pleasant. There's only one way you can say that, is if you do what they say. Obviously, the vast majority of the time, we try to persuade people in advance that if I do what you say, you will not be happy. But they don't listen. I want it. I know better than you do. Children and adults alike. That's the way the world works. So Shmuel HaNovi, instead of telling the people off in Perek Ches, when they came and asked for a king, and he told them that you've asked the wrong way, you will not appreciate a king, you will not get the right king, Klal Yisrael will be worse rather than better. The people would not have listened to Shmuel. They'd have said, he's just sticking up for his own children. Maybe he wants his children to take over after him. They're going to be the king. That's what he wants. That's why he didn't give us what we want. So Shmuel HaNovi, A, had to get them the king that they wanted. B, had to show them Nisim to show that this king is a good king that HaKadosh Baruch Hu even approves. Just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu approves of something does not mean that it is ideal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu may let things work the way we human beings want them to work. But actually, had we asked the Rabbeinu Shlomo beforehand, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, we want you to do it your way and we will accept whatever you do. Instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am going to do it my way. Please, Hashem, de facto, give me a Hechshesh temple after I've gone and eaten the food. That's the way we tend to work with the Rabbeinu Shlolem. Yeah? We'll bench beautifully after we've eaten the food and then worry about whether it had a Hechshesh on it. There's a right time and a wrong time. We are 400 years later. Their Eretz Yisrael was not to be conquered by a king automatically. Therefore, it's still too early. They weren't yet ready. Throughout Sefer Shoftim, they had leaders. But those leaders didn't have the power of a melech. And they didn't need to be. A melech can be administrative when you have accepted all the other things. Because after all, we start off as Rav Hirsch writes, I think it's Voschanan, he writes that the Eretz Yisrael is the land of the Torah. Eretz Yisrael is not the land of the Jewish people. Eretz Yisrael is the land of the Torah. The Torah gives Eretz Yisrael to us if we keep it. It's not a question, you see, England is the land of the English. Right? To an extent, I'm English. I was born in England. I'm as English as the guy next door. But I don't have a sensation of being that this is my country. I tend to think of the English Goyim as being the owners of this country. Eretz Yisrael is given not to Klal Yisrael, but given to the nation, the Am HaTorah. If the Am HaTorah, Klal Yisrael, the Am HaTorah, and let's face it, Any goy who becomes a Ger Tzedek becomes Klal Yisrael, and he has as much rights to Eretz Yisrael as I do. If I keep the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would rather have Eretz Yisrael with Yidden in it who keeping the Torah, because that's who ideally it's meant for. And that's why under the first 400 years, Klal Yisrael themselves weren't acting up to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not cast us on and throw us out of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept us in there for 852 years. 850 years. That's how long we lasted there. And Baruch Hashem, we're back. Baruch Hashem, it's Hashem forever. So, what happens? So Shmuel tells the people off. I've given you what you wanted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has approved of what you wanted. And now that he's approved of what you wanted, now you're going to see it's not the right thing. Now you will see that what you've asked for was wrong. You did it the wrong way. You're going to see that there will be problems, even though he's a good man. And Shmuel said to the people, Anuvi, speak against me, and speak in front of Shaul HaMelech. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Who have I robbed? Who have I oppressed? Is there anybody here who can complain that I've done anything wrong? Is there anybody here who gave me a little bit of money and said, don't look at what I did wrong? Just turn a blind eye to it. And everybody agreed that you've done nothing wrong. There wasn't a single man in Klal Yisrael who could stand up with one criticism against Shmuel when Shmuel himself was sitting down and standing up for them and saying, I ask you, criticize me. And there wasn't a single person who had anything to say. So Shmuel said, Eid Hashem Bochem, Hashem is a witness, and they agreed. So then Shmuel then said to the people, now you agree that I haven't done anything wrong, let me tell you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim and brought us to Eretz Yisrael. And when we came to Eretz Yisrael, we didn't do the right thing. We forgot about the Rabbeinu Shlom, and we did Avodah Zorah. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent along all the various enemies. We had the Canaanim under Sisera. We had the Plishtim. We had the Moavim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us problems. And why did we have the problems? Because we weren't keeping the Torah mitzvahs. I told you, Eretz Yisrael is the land of the Torah. We didn't keep Torah mitzvahs, Shmuel said. So we had one enemy after another in our own land. And then we did teshuva. Each time we did teshuva, we said, we've served Baal, we've served the Ashtoros. Now please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's make a condition with you, Rabbeinu Shlalom. We will, as long as you save us from our enemies, then we will serve you. Interesting way of putting it. Yeah, that's the order they put it in. First you save us from our enemies, and then we'll serve you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent along Yerubbaal, another name for Gidon, Bedon, another name for Shimshon, and Yiftoch, and Shemuel. Interesting what Shmuel said, how he described himself. He says, Hashem sent Gidon and Shimshon and Yiftoch and Shemuel. Even we don't talk about ourselves using our own name exactly the same as everybody else. Right? You've had this Rob to speak this week, and this Rob speaks this week, and then you've got Stanton. Right? You don't talk like that. We're told that when Shmuel HaNavi was speaking, he had the Nevuah from the Rabbeinu Shlom for every word he said. Shmuel was not even conscious of his own existence. The words were merely pouring out of his mouth. And as he said the word Shmuel, he said it in exactly the same way as if he was saying the previous word. There was no sense of me. No sense of my own personality there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent you different Shavuotim. And everybody agrees that the level, the Madrega of Gidon, Shimshon and Yiftoch was nowhere near his own. Shmuel was equal to Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Mechano, Shmuel, Bekor, Eshemo, Korim El Hashem, Behu Ya'aneim. Shmuel HaNavi was an incredibly great man. And he puts himself as number 4 on the list with 3 other of the minor Shavuotim. So then you saw Nochash, king of Ammon, was coming along. And then you said, no, we don't want you, Shmuel. We want to have a proper king. You're a big tzaddik. You're a big Talmud Chacham. But we want a king who's going to lead an army. You can't do that. So You wanted me to, you wanted a king, me to give you a king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your king. What do you need a king for? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your king. He'll do all you need to do. So, Hashem told me to give you a king. Here's the king you want. Hashem's given him to you. But now I'm warning you, Shmuel says, Im tira u'es Hashem. If you fear the Rabbeinu Shalom, serve the Rabbeinu Shalom, and do what he says and not rebel against him, gam atem v'gam ha-melech, both you and the king. There's no excuse for the king himself. Klal Yisrael and the king you have appointed have all got to be subservient to the Rabbeinu Shalom. There is no sense of, we now have a king, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've got a king now, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sure you've got other things to do with your time, we've got a king looking after us, thank you Rabbeinu Shalom, very kind all you've done so far, okay, if we need you, we'll call you. That's not the right attitude. The attitude is that the king is merely the administrative leader. There needs to be an administrative leader because everybody needs a job to do and he's got to organise. But he is as much a servant of the Rabbeinu Shalom in his way that he has to do as you are. If you do that, then everything will be okay. You will have a king and he will stay with you. But unfortunately, if you don't listen to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'hoyosoyad Hashem bochem uva'avoseichem. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come against you and against your fathers. Right? And that means, the Targum says, against your fathers means, remember what Hashem did to your ancestors. Remember what Hashem did to them, or how they suffered and what they did wrong. If you go to the history books and read about what when they went through, you'll see what happened to you. That's one pshat uva'avo seichem. Another pshat uva'avo seichem against your fathers will be in the next world. They will be called into the based in Shel Malah. These are your children. These are your grandchildren, great grandchildren. This is the way they are acting. If you had acted differently 100 years ago, their children would not be doing the same thing today. How much do we? Yes, Blianora, we bring our try to bring our children up. How far can we go? But that's why we've got to have a responsibility. We're thinking of our children, our grandchildren, and the Doros who come after us. If we set a good example, there's a chance that will last as long as possible. If we set a bad example, then some great-grandchild whom I've never heard of, Chas v'Sholom, that great-grandchild might say, oh, that's the way they acted, why shouldn't I do the same? So now, Shmuel said, one more thing, I'll show you a nace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do a nace. Hallo k'tzir chitim hayom. It's the wheat harvest. It's Shavuos time. I'll call to Hashem. He will give thunder and rain in the summer. And that, for Eretz Yisrael, is a terrible thing to get thunder and rain at the time of the harvest. Certainly. And that will show you, despite everything that has happened that is good. You've got a good king, and HaKadosh Baruch has shown you, Nachash Melech Ammon is defeated, he was going to be horrible to Klal Yisrael, and we've defeated him, Hashem has helped us, and nevertheless, says Shmuel HaNovi, Ki Roaschem Rabbo Asher Asisem Beinei Hashem, Lish'o Lochem Melech. What you have done, in the eyes of the Rabbeinu Shalom, is bad to ask for a king for yourself. And Shmuel davened to Hashem, and Hashem gave thunder and rain, Eretz Yisrael, in the middle of the summer. And everybody was terrified of the Rabbeinu Shalom and afraid of what they had done to Shmuel. And how great Shmuel HaNovi himself was. So they said to Shmuel, davened to the Rabbeinu Shalom that we shouldn't die. We've done the Havera. And Shmuel told the people, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, you've done this bad thing, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts your teshuvah, carry on. Now you've got a king, everything will be okay, but I've warned you, don't turn away from the Rabbeinu Shalom and serve Hashem b'chol levavchem. And then the last pasuk of the Haftorah ends off with a pasuk we say in Ma'ariv, Ki lo yitosh Hashem es amo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never abandon Klal Yisrael ba'avur Shema Agado because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great name. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known by the world as our God, Elokei Yisrael. The world knows that he's the God of the Jews. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to show that it's his people. And ki ha-ho'il Hashem la'asos eschem lo la'om. Ho'il is a Loshon Shavua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sworn to make you into a nation. It's interesting. La'asos eschem lo la'om. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you into a nation at Har Sinai and it's all playing games after that. It isn't. La'asos eschem is a continuous thing. For now, while the whole time Klal Yisrael exists in the world, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, he has sworn, he will continue to work with us to make us into the nation he wants. And yet, Hashem, we should be well. Amen.